So I heard this really, really cool story just this past week. A guy named Brennan Manning shared this story about a guy named Ed Farrell. And Ed Farrell's from Detroit in Michigan, and he decides he's going to spend his 2-week summer vacation, and he's going to go to Ireland. It's his favorite uncle's 80th birthday. So he goes, his Uncle Seamus, he flies to Ireland. He gets there, he's so excited. They get up, and he says, "Uncle Seamus, what do you want to do for your birthday today?" And he said, "I want to go to Lake Killarney." And he said, "Okay." So they get dressed. They don't talk while they're getting dressed. They don't talk in the car. I mean, two very emotionally understandable men, right? Sitting in the car, and they're driving, and they get there, and Uncle Seamus just looks out, and he stares into the sun for like 20 minutes, and they don't say anything at all. They just sit there, and they stare, and then all of a sudden, Uncle Seamus, who's 80 years old, just starts skipping, like all around the lake. I mean, back and forth, all around the lake. And his nephew's like, okay, he's lost it, right? Something's going on. And he comes up to his Uncle Seamus and he goes, "Seamus, what was that about? What were you doing? You look very happy. Do you want to tell me why?" And Uncle Seamus said, "Yes, lad. You see, God is fond of me. And me God is so, so very fond of me." As he saw the sun rise that morning, he said, "Wow, God really loves me." He got to experience that. I love the joy in that moment. I love joy. My number one strength is positivity. I love excitement. So we've been doing this series for a few weeks here. This is the second week now, called The Real Christmas, where we're looking at Christmas movies, because Christmas movies are amazing. And I want to say to those of you who I offended last week by saying that that movie is bad, that Scrooge movie, you know, George C. Scott, that one, I am still not sorry, right? Because it's where I am, and you be where you are, but I'm okay that I offended you, right? I'm all right with that. So I thought maybe before I offend anyone else, this week I would start, and if you're online, you could type this in the chat. I just want you to shout out, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Go ahead. Home Alone, that's next week. What else? Elf, that's today. What else? Santa Claus? What is Santa Claus? Oh, Noel. Oh, Noel, yeah. Noel. Okay. All right, I think I have all of them. Okay, I have them. You're done. Okay, I have them. What was that? Oh, Santa. Okay. All right, of course you like your movie, right? Okay, all right. So, every once in a while, a moment happens in my life where I feel really old. And just this year, I found out that the movie Elf is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Isn't that hard? I mean, that came out like last year, right? Like, it's hard to believe that it's so, and they have everything. If you went to Breakfast with Santa already, if you haven't gone, I'm going to spoil something for you. The syrup this year is in Elf. Right? Donuts are an Elf. Candy is in all this stuff to celebrate the 20th anniversary of this movie. Have you seen the movie Elf? Okay. For the three of you that haven't, right, I'm going to take you down a little bit. So 30 years prior to the story, Santa goes into an orphanage and he goes to connect with these kids and to bring them gifts. And Buddy the Elf, as a baby, crawls into his bag. Look at that. Isn't that cute? He crawls into his bag. Santa accidentally brings him back to the North Pole, where it's decided that Papa Elf is going to take care of him. And Papa Elf is going to raise him. Now you see, Buddy, even as a little boy, is kind of large, right? And Buddy doesn't pick up the whole time that he's not an elf. He doesn't pick up that he's a human that's been brought to the North Pole. So over time, things get more awkward, and Buddy can't quite make toys as fast as everybody else. And then all of a sudden, Papa Elf sits him down and tells him the truth. He tells him the truth that he was put up for adoption, born to Walter Hobbs and Susan Wells, that Walter never knew that he was born, and that now he works at a children's book company, Walter does, in New York. From Santa, Buddy learns that his father is on the naughty list. Say, ooh, ooh. Right? His dad is on the naughty list. So Buddy sets out for New York. He wants to meet his dad, but he also wants to get him off the naughty list. It's really important. And that's where my favorite line from the movie comes, which you'll see in the clip in just a minute, but it says, "Hey, buddy, I hope you find your dad." You know, the narwhal. It's the best line, right, that happens in that movie. So he gets in the city. He displays his childlike joy and his naivete. He goes out in the street when he shouldn't. He chews gum. You remember this part? Like when he gets gum off the... Oh, that's so gross, right? So gross and so good. But he puts the gum in his mouth. He goes to this coffee shop that has a sign that says the world's best coffee. And he goes, congratulations! And he doesn't realize that all the coffee shops say world's best coffee. But he has this joy. And he shares that joy. And then he goes and he gets in trouble. So he ends up going to jail. And then his dad has to bail him out. And they do a DNA test. And he finds out he's really his dad. And he takes care of him. And Walter is really uncomfortable with how immature Buddy is. Because I think Walter misses the joy that Buddy has. He's embarrassed by him because he misses that he's filled with all of this love. He doesn't like that he slathers his pasta with maple syrup. He can't understand why Buddy wants to play with him. But Emily insists that they take care of Buddy until he recovers, until what's going on goes away. In case you haven't seen the film, I want you to check out this clip really quickly.
No human being has ever set foot in Santa's workshop. That is, until Buddy.
I hear you're going on a journey to the big city.
Can't wait to see my dad.
This might be the opportunity to find out who you really are.
Bye, Buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Thanks, Mr. Narwhal. Papa says New York is pretty different. Sorry! Oh. Looks like a Christmas tree. Sorry I can't ride with you the rest of the way up. Well, have a good time. Oh, I forgot to give you a hug! Dad!
You look like you came from the North Pole.
That's exactly where I came from.
You have another son.
You like sugar, huh?
Is there sugar in syrup?
Yes.
Then yes.
We can't leave him alone. He's going to destroy the place.
Son of a nutcracker!
These guys are bad news.
Snowball.
Where did you say you were from?
Fruit spray? Wow.
Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
That movie is so filled with joy. And some people think it's naive and it's too much joy. But what if we all looked at the world the way Buddy looks at the world? What if we all lived with that joy the way that Buddy looks at the world? You may have heard of these guys. They're called the disciples. They follow Jesus around. And actually, in the time, to give you some context, you had to be chosen to be a disciple of a rabbi. And these guys had been rejected by everybody else. They weren't chosen, they weren't accepted. But Jesus said, I see something in you, and I think I can do something with you. Now, here's the interesting thing about these disciples. They mess up over and over and over again. So I'm a little fast-forwarding in the Christmas story, but I'm doing it to give you context. This is a little later on after Jesus is born. But I want you to hear this text. These kids try to come and hang out with Jesus. And this is what it says in the story. People were bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them. But the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it." Then he hugged the children and blessed them. Wow. Jesus says so much here in a teaching moment to the disciples, so much to us as we read this text today. Kids, take a minute. Hey, kids, look up here at me. Take a minute. Think about what this is saying. This text right here is saying that God is very fond of you. Just like the 80-year-old man in the story said, God loves you a ton. God thinks that more adults should be like kids. Kids, tell your parents that later on today, okay? God thinks that as adults, we should act more like kids. What do I mean by that? We should have the wonder that kids have. I love the joy of a kid on Christmas, right? I love the excitement when kids see those big blow-up things that I refuse to let come in my yard, or when they see the lights, or when they see Santa come into a space and they see the joy. We had a kid in our church last week, two weeks ago, we had some event here, and the lights were on outside. And she went out and she looked at the lights and she came inside and I said, "Hey, what do you think of the lights?" She goes, "I love them." No adult has said that to me yet, by the way. But that joy that a child looks at the world with, it's priceless. I think the way that we all come to appreciate the love of God that came down at Christmas is that we look at the world like a child looks at the world. What do I mean by that? What if we were to take a pause during the Christmas season and look at lights with wonder and joy? Many mornings of the week, I get a chance to walk our preschool friends to the classroom. And I love it when they get to the classroom and they see one of their friends or they see their teacher. This week, one of the kids was walking down a long hallway and he was at the end of the hallway and he said, "I'm here." And his teacher yelled out, "Hello." And he was just beaming with joy. Friends, what if we as adults could approach the world like this? What if we looked at the world and at people through the eyes of a child? At the age of 45, a guy named Michael May back in the late 90s had a surgery. He had been blind since he was 3. And he had a surgery where it gave him sight again. It was a miraculous surgery. Only 42 people had had this surgery before him. And actually what happened when people had this surgery was they had a real challenge acclimating to the world. Because they had gone from not being able to see and not being able to experience all these things. And then they found themselves in a place where they were struggling. They didn't feel like they were people who were sighted or people who didn't have sight. And they were struggling. But Michael was different. He experienced things a little bit differently. He experienced things with great joy. When the doctors finally removed these surgical bandages from his eyes, just like the other patients, he couldn't perceive space. He couldn't see height, distance, depth, three-dimensional shapes. The moon looked like a big street lamp. He couldn't read people's faces, but unlike other patients, he didn't get frustrated. He didn't get discouraged by the long learning curve. Instead, he approached his new world with an attitude of adventure and childlike wonder. What if you leave worship today as if you're seeing for the first time? What if you go out into the world today experiencing things for the first time? What would it be like? Friends, this Christmas, seeing the world through the eyes of a child means that we're able to look at the world with curiosity and wonder. We don't look at our neighbor as different. We look at our neighbor as someone we can't wait to get to know. I love watching our preschoolers connect with their friends in preschool. They're so excited. It doesn't matter which kid it is in the class. They're so excited to see them. When we have the eyes of a child, we don't look at the glasses half empty. We look at the glasses overflowing with newness. Exciting and wonderful. I still remember the first time I heard Buddy the Elf talk about the four food groups. Do you know what they are? Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup. And I remember thinking, that is so gross. Candy corn? And then I ate it. Because the truth is, friends, when we see the world as different and gross and we don't experience it, then we don't experience it. When we shut it out and we don't get to have the goodness of all that God has out in creation, we shut it out and we don't experience it. Maybe it's gross because it's different. What if you went home for lunch today and put some syrup on spaghetti? Some of y'all are like, "You're paying our dental bills, Pastor Tim." Right? It's gross because it's different. But I think sometimes the world becomes gross because we don't see the world through the eyes of a child. And Jesus is pretty clear in the text that that's really, really important. When it comes to life, seeing the world through the eyes of a child is tough. I think God seeing through the eyes of a child, I think seeing God through the eyes of a child might even be tougher. When I was a kid, I had no question believing in God. Anybody else have that experience? My parents told me. I went to the church. It was all good, and it was God is real, and God loves you, and God wants to walk with you. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I started having questions, and I started navigating that differently. And I wonder, what if we approach, questions aren't bad, questions are good, but what if we approached our faith in God just like a child does? It says, "I know God is here. I know God is with me. I know God is walking with me." What if we approached it like Seamus did, saying, I know God is very, very fond of me. In October of 2020, we all probably know what was going on. There was a pandemic in the world. The world had shut down just a few months earlier. And there's this blogger who came out. His name's Clay Drinko. And he came out with 7 ways to rediscover your childlike wonder. And I want to offer them to you today because I think this links up with the scripture. I want you to hear these and I want you to think, what can I do over the next couple of weeks? So here's the first one. Find your reason to wonder. We have an amazing God that's incredibly creative. This Christmas, the God who's very fond of you, has created you. That in and of itself can be a reason to wonder. But if you need more, take a look around you. Look around this room. Everybody take a look around you. Look at the people in this room. There's a creative God that created this. So find your reason to wonder. Here's the second thing. Learn from an expert. Who are the experts? Hey, if you're under the age of 18 in this room, raise your hand. Yeah, that's all you kids. Raise your hand. They're the experts. Jesus said it. Learn from an expert. If you don't have a kid, find one. Like, don't take somebody's kid. But find them. Engage them. Ask them what brings them joy. Ask them what they're excited about this Christmas. Ask them what they're wondering about. Try to connect with that. It'll surprise you. Go outside is the third one. Yes, go outside. Today's actually a decent day to do that, right? Go outside. Look at Christmas decorations. Look at trees. Look at birds that are still around. Look at the dogs that your neighbors have that play together. Look at winter plants. Look at the sky. Look at the water. Just get outside. That was the third thing he said. Here's the fourth thing. Put your phone down. Put your phone down. That's a hard one, right? Put your phone down. You know, I get a notification every Sunday morning. Mine says my screen time was up a lot last week. Put your phone down. You cannot see your children. You cannot see the world. You cannot see other things if you've got your face in your phone. And I need that as much as anybody else. Here's the next one. Take a closer look. I love this scene. Take a closer look. Take a look at everything. Stop, pause, deeply look at colors and textures. If you're not friends with my friend John Macier on social media, I don't know if you are, but he takes some of the most amazing pictures and he sees things that I can never see when I'm outside. Take a deeper look. Take a closer look. Here's the next one. Slow down. This is my second favorite scene in the whole movie, by the way. Slow down. I love the grace that everybody's offering him here. Take a pause. Oh, there we go. All right, so maybe that's an oxymoron for the month of December, but slow down. Take a pause. Stop frenetically rushing everywhere. If everything doesn't get done, it's okay. In December, I look at people in our church. There's so many wonderful leaders we have in our church. And I look at them and I say, if we don't have to meet in December, please let's not. Because the truth is, December is busy enough on its own. If there are things you cannot do, don't do them and slow down. Intentionally meditate. Intentionally be a tourist in your own town. Take deep breaths. And here's the final one he recommends, and I love this one. Make it a game. Make what a game? Everything. Make everything in life a game, because when you're playing a game, you're paying attention, and when you're paying attention, you experience things and you notice them. I know why I love this movie. I love this movie because he's everything that I don't allow myself to be. He's everything that I don't allow myself to be. But he's so very positive. He's constantly thinking the best of others. He finds joy in the smallest things. For some of you, Christmas is a sad time. And I want to honor that, and I want to name that's true and that's real. And I don't want to take away from that. I wonder if you can balance joy and sadness at the same time. I wonder if you can live in the tension of those two realities this Christmas. I wonder if we can each reclaim childlike wonder, understanding that wonder changes the world and changes you. Look at the text one more time. It says, allow the children to come to me, don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. That seems pretty straightforward. Jesus is very clear that kids help us see the world the way God wants us to see it. that kids help us experience the world, that childlike wonder helps us. So kids, this week, kids, everybody look at me if you're a kid. I want you to help your parents this week. Kids, I want you to help your parents find time to play. Kids, I want you to help your parents find time to pause. Kids, I want you to help your parents find times to see the beauty of creation. Help them stop and look at people's Christmas lights. Help them find joy this Christmas, because I promise you, if you do, it's going to change Christmas. Marcella's going to come and invite us to a time of communion, but I pray that you experience childlike wonder this Christmas.